Okay, Benito is next.
Yeah, I was just going to basically say something along the lines of what I think Sophia just said in terms of, you know, we should do this, you know, have something written. We should write up something after the meeting based on the, you know. Anyway, I don't want to repeat what you just said. And I was also going to say that part of that is I would feel more comfortable if we had the discussion or the report on what's up at BAI, and that way we could look at both situations at the same time.
Okay, thank you, Benito. Actually, at BAI, there's not a... This isn't a concern. This on-air extended campaign is not a concern.
It's kind of quiet for the moment. It has been a concern, though, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely in the past. You better believe it.
Right.
They called our board chair a CIA agent.
Right.
That was a high point.
Yeah.
Okay. You gotta have a sense of humor with this stuff. Okay, and the next person on the stack would be Sasha.
Okay, well, just in regards to what was just said, I think it's very important for us all to use our past experiences with this, which is, you know, all the stations or even other environments in which, you know, all of us have found ourselves to try to think through what the best policy is. So in that sense, I think, you know, including BAI or other stations' situations from the past, I think will help inform us in terms of coming up with something that will cover all situations. That was one thing. I'd like to have something in there because I think this is a change of culture within the system, as it were. And I think it needs to have something that requires GMs or IGMs to also have something that requires them to have some sort of sit-down with staff. In other words, this is going to be a new change of policy, and if not of policy, then at least an enforcement of a new policy, and that everybody should be, you know, well-advised, have a chance to ask their questions, air their concerns about the policy, and have it discussed. For a number of reasons. For one thing, I think it's only fair that people understand you can no longer do certain things that have been part of our culture in the past. But also, you know, to make sure everybody is well educated on this, and that that this in itself does not become a huge topic that is used divisively or whatever it will be, but whatever we can do to avoid that from happening as much as possible, I think we should do. I'm not too sure requiring I'd like to make this because we are such a factionalized system and none of our stations have deep factions that are really dueling to the death right now. I mean, that's how I feel things are at KPFA. I feel like this is a duel to the death at this point. We've reached that stage of things. I don't think you can really, I'm uncomfortable leaving it up to a GM or an IGM to decide to enforce a rule or not. Because of the factions, you get somebody who's on the faction of somebody, the people who are doing these transgressions, and you get absolutely no enforcement. So I think we have to think about how to get around that problem.
What would you think?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I just know that at the moment, this would be something that could be in place, and I don't feel would be enforced at KPFA.
Right.
I agree with Sasha.
Well, this is a problem. You do need managers that enforce board policies.
Can I ask something, Sasha? When is your permanent GM gonna get in there, and do you think
sometime this week? And there has been no press release, no announcement even of who it is, although staff has been told who it is. There's been absolutely no discussion, nada. And I am completely lost as to what is going on with that. I do know that he can't start full-time right away. My understanding is that he would start part-time with or without pay this week. But it hasn't happened as far as I know.
Do you think that would make any kind of a difference if he were there?
I would hope so. Of course, he's somebody who's brand new, and throwing him in the midst of something like this could, we have a problem with our managers not lasting very long.
Well, the whole network does, yeah.
and it is because of this sort of infighting. I mean, I would hate to say, hey, you're on the job this week, you're working 4 hours a day and 4 hours, another day this week, and now take care of this. I that would be a horrible thing to do to the person. I do think we have to think through how that gets handled. If you have a policy in place that is a specific policy on what people may do, that if a general manager does not act, therefore it goes to fill in the blank. I mean, it just occurred to me as this came up with the GM has to, as a conversation, that, gee, I don't think our GM would do anything right now.
Okay, well, how about then, as a third step, taking it to the PNB and skip the ED? She's part of the PNB and can vote, but if the ED, and I shouldn't say she, because whoever the ED is obviously can step in at any time, and if the ED has not stepped in, then it should go to the PNB, and God help, the factions there, but...
Right. I would think something should be put in place that was, and this is just off the top of my head, and I don't know that it's necessarily good, but, if this is not done within 48 hours, because to me, if somebody goes on the air, there ought to be a response like that day. But if this is not dealt with by the GM within 48 hours, any member of the staff or the local station board can request that the executive director immediately meet with the general manager and meet, and see to it that the rule is enforced or find out why it is not being, something.
So
that
the LSU
actually put time frames on it, because I've noticed one thing about our system here is things can drag on forever without anything being done. And I don't know legally what would happen. I mean, to me, like, for instance, that we've allowed things to go on at KPFA for a while now. If we suddenly said, okay, this discussion ends, and I don't pretend to be a lawyer, so would that actually put us in a funny position? Well, why did you allow it for the last 4 weeks and all of a sudden there are ramifications that put somebody's job at risk if they continue doing what they've been doing for the last 6 weeks.
Well, yeah. And the LSB is not a help.
The LSB, and because of the factionalization, the LSB could be absolutely no help. So I would say, it should be some limited number of people that would say, this has not been tended to. This is still going on our airwaves. Take care of it, please. You have to, this has to be taken care of and it has to be dealt with. And if it goes to the, somehow it has to be in place that it gets taken care of in a timely fashion. Because with the way we work, things can drag out for a year.
Are you having another fund drive soon?
We're going to have a few days coming up in December.
And how did your last fund drive go?
We were about $70,000 short of goal.
Right.
But didn't you all stop early?
We did not stop early, no. What we didn't do was we were going to have a two-day fund drive had been set up for November, and instead it was a fund drive for the archives.
Oh, okay.
And how did that do?
You know, actually, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know mine either, because we have the same fund drive here. And I'll find out, but I forgot until just now.
Yeah, I did too. I was curious at the time, and then, yeah, we have a board meeting coming up on Saturday. I don't know that we're necessarily going to find out. But
I think it went pretty well, though. That's just my sense.
I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, in this last conversation, has been good because we've added some stuff. There needs to be some instruction from management to staff of the new policy. It needs to be done in a way that doesn't add any more divisiveness. There's the issue of what to do if you have a problem that goes on and the GM is not taking response. That needs to be written in there. And also, it needs to be a timely response. Actually, this is a very good point. If someone goes on the air for months and then 6 months later, you're still arguing what to do about it, it's kind of, you know, pointless. The idea is to stop this when it's going on because,
right.
You know.
And I would think there might be legal ramifications to that. I think if somebody took you to court, I mean, I think I would have a case if I was allowed for 6 months to rant and rave about Pacifica and then I was taken off the air.
Right.
And I think I could sue for my job and say, wait a minute, I was allowed to do this for half a year.
Right. Okay, well, this is a very good point. So this brainstorming has been productive. Okay, well, I will continue this by email, then. I'll try to write up, some summary of...
Yeah, and if you could get us the things that have been... I know you emailed us one.
Yeah, the one, and then there's the one that Ifia referred to from 2008, and that's going to take some doing.
Yeah, if we could find that would be terrific.
That's way back in there.
So that we knew what already exists. And you know, I understand that the Pacifica's website has not, I think, been updated in terms of resolutions since something like July of 2009.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I have stuff in my email, though. That's where I would look.
Yeah, so
okay.
I don't think we're going to find it up on the Pacifica website, is what I'm saying. We were looking for something else having to do with our upcoming meeting. And
when is your new, it's that Saturday?
Yeah.
The new board, and is the board actually split 12 and 12 then?
Well, it depends on what happens with the election, you know, the votes that have been disallowed.
Right.
It's 14 to 11, or it will be 13 to 12. We have an unusual situation. We have We have an extra person.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, this has been very... I think this has been a productive discussion.
Can I ask something, a little housekeeping here? Since what are we going to have another meeting of this body, or how does that work?
We could have another meeting as long as the people are still on their LSBs.
Correct.
An LSB member who's no longer on the LSB and they were on this committee by virtue of being elected by the LSB, then I think that person wouldn't be on the committee. But I think most of us are still here. We could probably have one more meeting, I think.
And the LSBs elect new committee members.
Right. Do you guys get to that? Our LSB didn't get to that till like January or February.
Oh, you're really good. If you get to it by January or February, you're really good. We don't traditionally. We're pretty slow. It's usually like February or later.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going to happen now because the majority shifts back again from the side I'm on to the side that was in the majority for 3 of my 4 years on the board, and they campaigned on there shouldn't be any LSB, so let's put it in those terms.
you kind of love that. Well, let me ask on the call right now, so you're still on your board, right? Sasha, you're not termed out.
I have to do two more years of time, of hard time.
Hard time. And Kim, you're still on your board, right?
Yeah, I'm the same as Sasha. I got two more years of penance.
And Afia, you remain a director through September, yes? I think that's true. And then Nancy, you're still on your board. You're not termed out.
No, Wesley and I have two more years.
Two more years. And Benito, you're still on your board.
I also have two more years of hard time.
Yeah,
I'm still on my board. So we should have a quorum, you know. We'll try to work this up. Hopefully we can have
another
meeting in December. Hello? Rufina?
Yes. I served my time, so I think it might be my last, if I'm not mistaken.
Are you finished? Is your term up?
Yeah. I didn't go to the meeting last night, so I don't know if they seated the new people. Or...
They did, Rufina.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
no,
so
I think
Rufina's not on the new board.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll see. The people that are still on the committee should have another meeting. You know, we're an advisory body. It's not the end of the world. Which raises the question, how can we have a meeting in December? Because last time it took us like 3 weeks to find a meeting date.
Right.
So why don't we look at the schedule right now? Kim makes a very good point, as usual. APFDX, which is, of course, maintained by Otis.
So, Jamie, you and Kim are going to try to find, or you and Afia, rather, are going to try to find that resolution and email it to us. And are you going to work on draft language, or?
I'll put some notes together. If you want me, that's probably the best I can do right at this point. Okay, I'm looking at the KPFDX calendar in September.
December,
sorry. And it's very crowded. I can't believe all these people have so many meetings. We have all these meetings and we're still not making any money. That may be why.
Yeah, I agree.
Is Sunday a night people could possibly come, like Sunday? Well, it gets to the holidays. There's a lot of social stuff going on.
I actually have, I'm getting to my calendar.
Sunday the 12th? That's kind of close, but, you know, if we kept it to this one topic, maybe we could deal with it.
I'm actually going to a holiday party that starts at 3 on that Sunday the 12th.
I see. This is the problem with the holidays. Then there's, Friday the 10th of December.
For me.
I think it's too soon, and we didn't even get to policies yet.
We may not.
Well, I was hoping, you know, before the year is over, we could at least have some idea of a better program council design. Or
the issue is, I don't know when we could, once we get to January, I mean, there's going to be a new programming committee. We could punt it off to the new committee, but that doesn't seem like, I'm afraid nothing will ever happen if we do.
Right.
If anybody has another idea when we could meet, Sunday the 19th. Did we already ask about that?
Not yet.
Sunday the 19th. I mean, that's probably a day when a lot of people have stuff to do. Then.
I'm open.
Works for me.
The rest of people, the Sunday the 19th.
That's Sunday, December the 19th. Sunday, December the 19th. What time?
I guess a similar time, 8:30 Eastern.
Is it okay with Otis? Are you listening, Otis?
What's the date? I'm sorry. What date did?
Sunday the 19th. There's nothing scheduled that day. There's no teleconference scheduled.
Yeah,
Yes, Sunday the 19th. We're trying to find a date, and I'm looking at KPFTX. There's nothing. The weekdays are almost all scheduled for teleconferences, but we're trying to fit one into December. With Sunday the 19th, is that a bad thing?
Well, it's a bad thing, but it's part of our job.
There you go.
Rock and roll, let me see. Yeah, I don't see any reason not to.
Okay, so there you go, Nancy. So
you sure
anybody
it's all
else
right,
have
Otis?
A problem with the 19th?
Yeah, what time are you going to do it?
Probably either 8 Eastern or 8:30 Eastern.
Could we make it 8 and just limit it to an hour?
Yes, we could. That'd be fine.
Sometimes I
get through it in an hour, do you think?
Sometimes people schedule them earlier on Sunday.
Would 8 Eastern be okay? I could go as early as 7:30.
I'll be late or not on because I have a thing out here that earliest it'll be over is 4:30, and chances are I won't be back exactly at 8 o'clock. So
that Friday wouldn't work. The
17th? No, the 19th, the Sunday.
No, I'm saying, but you couldn't do it that Friday.
Oh, the Friday the 17th. As of now, I can do it. Yeah.
It looks open.
Does anybody else have a conflict with Friday the 17th?
No, I don't.
16th is also open, which is a Wednesday.
The 15th says it's busy here.
No, you have the KPFT
really?
Board.
I'm at the KPFT
board meeting.
The KPFT board.
So Nancy and Wesley could not come.
Well, correct.
Yeah, I could not do Wednesday
for us.
Okay, well, how about the 17th? That seemed to have possibilities. Sasha,
okay.
Are you here on the 17th?
I am.
And Kim and Nancy, 17th is okay for you?
Yeah.
Otis, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
But Nancy, is that okay for you?
Yes, 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 yes.
And Wesley?
Yes.
And Benito?
Yeah.
Okay, the 17th it is.
Okay.
What time?
I was going to say 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Fine with me.
Any problems with that?
Okay, so 7:30 Texas time.
7:30 Texas time. Real time it's 7:30. Okay,
Sasha, can I ask you something? What do other people on your board think? And I'm not talking about the other side. I mean, are there other people who might be sympathetic with you? Do they have any ideas? Are they alarmed?
I haven't talked to them about this in particular, you know, wanting to put this in place. The people who are very politically involved are also very actively involved on the PNB and are not that interested in things like this, I guess I would put it.
No, the meeting is not adjourned.
Okay. I'm on the stream. Thank you for the reminder. No, I have not run this. I have not run this by people, and probably should. But I personally just think that in terms of good radio, something has to happen here, and we need to put something into place. Sort of thinking through, what can or might happen, and just knowing what we're dealing with,
This Nancy, it's bad mouthing, that's unbalanced, and is that what the problem is? And you cannot just preempt and let the other person have a chance to speak.
What you mean?
Part
on
of the problem
on
is that I do think
air?
Both sides.
On the air, you mean, Nancy? Are you referring to?
Yeah,
the problem is that, well, I'm sorry to interrupt, Sasha, but just very briefly, using our air for back and forth about some policy is problematic in and of itself. But anyway, Sasha could answer.
Well, no, I agree with you, but I do think that once something has been said, I really think that equal air time in the same time slot needs to be given to voice another opinion. And to try to, if you've exposed a certain part of the listening audience to an argument from one side, I think you need to expose them, especially if it's happened repeatedly, to the other side of the story, because I'm certainly dealing with people. I'm having to straighten out a lot of misinformation before we can ever decide whether Pacifica is really a monster or not in terms of how my conversations have been going. But there's just a lot of misinformation out there. But I actually think it has no place on the airwaves to begin with.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, well, can we put this topic to bed for the time being?
Yes. I want to hear what Wesley has to say about policies.
Yeah, I would agree, but I would really appreciate if we could include some kind of wording, Jamie,
yes,
around, I don't know who was just speaking a minute ago, but about equal time.
Okay. Yeah, equal time should be given if, yeah, okay.
Of course, yes.
Here, here.
Okay.
How about equal time must be given?
Right. Right.
Well, you know, Sasha, the problem is that there isn't really anybody on the other side who is as committed to doing this as the other side.
Yeah, that's correct. There's a lot of, I mean, a lot of people would never consider using their airtime. There's a lot of people that are very professional, and they may actually be on one side or another, but they wouldn't consider using their air to go around with this kind of stuff. You know,
yeah, I mean, Brian is devoted to doing this for I can't even say for better or worse, for worse, you know, and he's got his supporters, and there's nobody, I mean, Sasha, you might go on once, Arlene may go on once, but it's nothing compared to the dedication that Brian has to whatever it is he thinks he's going to get out of this.
Yeah,
the equal
time is good for one time, but really the goal should be not to spend our airtime.
Correct.
Right.
You know, if you can quickly dispense with some misinformation, that's fine, but then let's move on. Well, I think the equal time bit is worth, that's a good point to add. But before we go tonight, I wanted to briefly update you all on WBAI's programming change.
Uh-oh. Okay, here we go. You should have been saving the best for the last, huh?
Well, it's okay. These were done about 2 weeks ago. Basically, the strips that were affected, I believe, you know, this is basically programming changes driven by the need to increase listenership, which I think is a good reason to make programming changes, because BAI's listenership is low and our income is poor because of that. So the motivation is valid. The changes were the 10 to 12 strip, which in the weekdays, which had basically one-hour shows, once-a-week shows by volunteers, public affairs shows, some of which were good, has been replaced by a music strip, 10 to 12, which used to be what we had in that time slot before 2001. And some of our music programmers who are now other places on the grid are now in that slot. My personal opinion is I think that might be a good move, because the listenership in that slot was not good with the stuff that's been displaced. So that's one change. The next change is the 12 to 1 o'clock weekday slot is now Gary Null's Natural Living. I believe that's every day, Monday through Friday.
We're having a demonstration about that out here in Berkeley on Friday.
Yeah, well, just for some background, Gary Null is, you know, he came to Pacifica from BAI, and he actually had been on BAI since, I don't know, 1980 or so. He had been on BAI in that very slot for 20 years. No, for 25 years. He was removed in 2004. And he does indeed have a listenership. The Arbitron showed a big peak at that hour when he was on our air that is no longer in the later Arbitrons. It disappeared. So the goal there was to get back the old listenership that he brought. And he's a volunteer programmer, and he's displacing volunteer programmers who are on once or twice a week that also dealt with health issues, but, you know, that strip had not developed a big audience.
And, you know, from all I've heard, he raises a lot of money.
Yeah, and then the last major change, they're developing a strip at 5 p.m. 4 days a week, a paid programmer, 5 to 6 p.m., a public affairs, a new public affairs show. And once again, that also displaced 4 different one-hour-a-week shows by volunteers. So basically, there's somewhat more uniformity in our weekday schedule. And some of those weekday shows have been moved to the weekend. Some seem to have disappeared completely, which has caused a lot of stress and strain amongst the programmers. The last thing I'll say is basically these decisions were taken by the program director. There was not like a big process with a program council. We don't have an active program council. We haven't had one for quite some time. So basically they're the decisions of the program director. My personal view is I think that something had to be done. The basic concept to try to build listenership with strip programming on the weekdays, I think, is probably the right move. Whether the shows were selected appropriately and the ones that were moved to the right place, I think there can be some debate about that. But I just wanted to update you on that.
Well, I'm on Doug Henwood's email list, so I've been reading about his discontent with his change of slot and then his refusing to go along with it. So,
yeah, it's unfortunate. Actually, Doug Henwood, it was funny, we were talking about KPFA. He's actually affiliated with the people out there who were doing a lot of complaining.
Absolutely.
But on his on-air presentation on BAI, he actually does a very good show. So from the point of view of adding value to the foundation by doing good radio, I think, you know, he lives up to his end of the bargain that way. The problem is he was a one-hour-a-week show in the 5 to 6 slot. So unless you remember to listen at Thursday, you know, a person, my feeling is it's hard for a one-hour-a-week show to develop audience on the weekdays unless it's really a fantastic show. You know, like NPR has their, well, like stuff like, they play stuff like, what's that show? This American Life tends to be on the weekend. That's a big show. It's a once-a-week show. Or Car Talk is a once-a-week show. I think there is logic to try to, if you want your once-a-week shows to be big shows, they probably should be on the weekend, or you have to do something special for them to maintain an audience. Because
people tend to
listen in a regular habit more or less every day. And the more uniformity you can get across the weekdays, that's a good theory. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. We used to have, in the 5 to 6 hour, different programmers Monday through Friday. One programmer had 3 days, and there were 2 other programmers for the other days, but they were all the same type of show. So you could still tune in 5 o'clock every day and hear the same type of thing. But when it's wildly different, it's like, no, you get out of work, man, you just want to listen to, you know, you want to know what you're going to get every day. Otherwise, you'll turn on NPR, I think. Unfortunately, I think Henwood has one of the best shows. I download it. You know, I get it on iTunes, and I download it and listen to it every week. He's the only progressive economy show on anywhere.
Right. He adds something valuable to our air. It's not clear that the program director. Well, I don't want to talk about people's decisions, but in an ideal program grid, you would find a place to use that kind of talent.
Yeah. And, you know, Henwood gets into, you know, he's got his own thing, and he's not, you know, I mean, he's gone on air, too, to Dish Pacifica.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think he's, you know, it's unfortunately so he's so closely affiliated with the KPFA people. Such is life. You know, if people are going to do good radio, I can, as a board member, I can put up with all kinds of stuff. But you know, but as long if they do good radio and draw an audience, but if not, you know, then you have to. But anyway, I just wanted to update you guys on that. We'll see how it goes. It's an issue at BAI because we don't get Arbitron, so it's not clear how they will judge the effect of the programming changes. I guess we can look at the stream numbers, you know, how many people listen online. According to Jim Bennett, those basically reflect the same trends as what Arbitron will tell you. Of course, the absolute numbers will be different because there's far fewer people listening on the stream, but a popular show will be a popular show. So that might
I mean, you can tell by downloads too. If you can get those numbers, you can also tell by fund drives, which shows,
yes,
you know, get some spikes and shit like that.
Unfortunately, you know, I've never seen, we always hear that goes into the decision process, but we never see that information.
Well,
so,
demand it. I've chatted up our membership guy, and I've just pumped him for a lot of information myself and gotten a lot of really good information.
That's good. Well, you know, I don't want to be too disparaging. If I spent a lot of time at the station, I could find it out.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of time, unfortunately. But
yeah.
And people, you know, they probably have other things to do than make.
Well, it's expensive. You know, donors pay a lot. Like, we're spending like $25,000 for Arbitron, and we cannot look at it.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
You should be able to look at it. The LSB.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have that same problem with KPFK. And maybe, Jamie, I'd like to put that on the agenda, that we need, you know, something coming out of here saying, you know, we absolutely demand that every board member be trained in Arbitron or given, not just, we, you know, I'll tell you something. I guess, should I say this on the stream or wait?
Don't say on the stream. It's
I'm going to wait until we're off the stream.
You know, Kim, there's always a way to say something that's very diplomatic and probably is not going to be a problem if you're...
No, this I'm going to wait until we're off the stream, and it's not a question of diplomacy.
Okay. Yeah, you know, another thing with the Arbitrons, I actually was in contact with the people from Arbitron about a year ago, you know, quite a bit. I spoke to them on the phone, and I asked them, well, you know, I've heard so many different stories about how proprietary this information is. Can we talk about it at meetings, or is it hush-hush? The Arbitron people said, so this was actually Radio Resource Consortium who gives us our Arbitrons. And they said, it can be public as long as you say the data is from Arbitron. So their policy was that there's no Arbitron. As long as you credit Arbitron, they don't mind if you talk about their data in public. That's
of course. They don't care. It's good advertisement for them. They don't give
exactly
a crap. Listen, you could go over and make a friend over at NPR, and they could tell you what our Arbitrons are.
Right. I have such a friend who lives around the corner, actually.
Well, go chat him up, Jamie.
But
go make him a cake and bring it over for Christmas,
right,
saying, you know, let's talk.
Yeah, it was funny.
Can we move forward?
Yeah, okay, that's fine. So I just wanted to let you know that. So that's a good point. Our access to Arbitrons, that is something worth, you know, it's not clear that we get all that information. I hope it's used well. So now it's 10:30, folks. Should we bring this to a close?
Well,
I'd like to ask a question.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, I don't quite know exactly how to say this, but let me just straight up. We've heard here at PFW that the rumor that the kind of changes that were being made at BAI were like canned national type of programming. And
yes,
I was wondering
how
do you react to that?
No. How do I react to that?
That kind of accusation. I have no way of knowing one way or the other. So
there was a change. Last year we made a programming change to move. We used to have a morning show that went, a locally produced morning show that went from 6 to 9. Last year they shortened it from 6 to 8 and moved Democracy Now! That was from 9 to 10. They moved it from 8 to 9, which I thought was a good move. 8 to 9 is a better time, and Democracy Now! Is a better show. So get your good stuff on the air when people can hear it. And then in the 9 to 10 era, 9 to 10
slot,
9 to 10 slot, yeah, 9 to 10 a.m. slot, they put shows from some of the shows came from California station. Like on Friday, we hear Guns and Butter, which is which is a KPFA show.
Right.
On some days, we hear what's his name, Ian Masters. I think it's Tuesday and maybe Wednesday, which is a KPFK show.
Right.
Then we hear on Thursday, we hear some guy named Terrence somebody. I don't know where.
Oh, Terrence McNally. Terrence McNally. He's another KPFK.
He's another KPFK guy. And then on Monday, I can't remember what they do. So that's probably what they were referring to. And, you know, the managers say this spot is doing good as far as audience goes. They do see Arbitrons through, as Kim suggested, somebody else. And they say, you know, that spot is still gathering listeners. So some of the old-time BAI listeners complain that these shows don't sound like what you expect BAI to sound like.
Yeah, that was the other part of
you
it.
Know,
now, as you remind
the
me.
Guy Ian Masters gets complained about. He's not, you know, he's not radical enough, or he sounds like somebody you could hear on some other station. You know, so there's probably, you know, there's different ways to look at these things. My feeling is if they can get an audience, that's kind of our primary concern right now. You know, we have most of the hours in the day are local programming. It's not like, you know, we have 24/7 mass-produced schlock or anything. So.
And he's not.
You know,
like,
I think the statements, the criticism you heard, Benito, has a germ of truth, but it's probably overstated. That's what I would say.
Okay.
And we all know what a radical Michio Kaku is.
Well, I don't know. He's on BAI. He actually got moved to Saturdays. He's a very popular show.
We like him down here, too.
Yeah, it's good. Actually, that's another good thing. If stations can export their good shows to the other Pacifica stations, I think it's...
I think he's produced by NPR, though.
Really?
Yeah, he's not produced by Pacifica.
Oh, he's been a BAI guy since forever.
But I don't think he's a... Does he broadcast from BAI?
I don't know. I don't know that he does that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know. So anyway, folks, it's 10:30. Actually, Nancy had a question?
No, we were supposed to... I wanted to hear about the policies.
Well, I sent around a policy that was proposed by Leslie Radford, which...
Oh, I thought you said Wesley.
Leslie, yes.
She didn't come tonight, okay.
Yeah, she,
yeah with all due respect, Leslie's been dragging this thing around for a year, and she never shows up, and if she had wanted to, like, support this, she should have, like,
I feel we need to, I would like to get off the call. We've been on the call for 2 hours. I feel we've made good progress.
Yeah.
And we should, you know, we should get back to this to the point that the issue that Sasha brought up. I think that, you know, we should hammer that out. I think that would be a valuable contribution.
Okay, well, I'm still hoping that we were going to get together with good ideas about a really ideal program council. And our present design at KPFT is going to, come to an end. March or February of next year, and so we'll be able to present a new design, and I really would like us to get ideas from everybody. Like I heard Kim say, your KPFK's program council has no paid staff. Is that right?
We don't have a program council.
Oh, no, but you're trying to bring up one, right?
Oh, no, we have this programming oversight committee, which is just a disaster. It's the least functional committee. They've never done anything except be crazy. It's, we're no example. I have nothing to offer except for what not to do.
Oh.
But, I would suggest that, you know, we'll probably get new people on this committee once we pick new, you know, committees. So let's put that, you know, kind of forward for the new board. To, you know, this is the first thing we want to work on.
Okay, well, we have, as I said, the Texas Program Council is half elected by the board, 3 board members and 3 listeners, and half selected by the manager, 3 staff and then 3 listeners. And doesn't Berkeley have a better representation?
Berkeley has not had a program council since it was canceled out by the interim program director a couple of years ago, and we just voted to reinstate it, but we have not been able to get off the ground how we're going to select the listeners, and the new board majority is also against the program council, so I don't know if we're going to program council anytime soon.
What is the reason why 3 out of 5 stations don't have a program council? Is it because the manager has almighty power, or what is the reason?
In our case, it's because who's had almighty power have been people on staff who've really been running the station, whether they have a management title or are actually on air personalities or not. And they've been running the station, and they don't want a program council to interfere with that. That's my opinion.
Makes sense.
Actually, this is Jamie. I would like to get off the call right now.
No, thank you, Jamie. I'm sorry.
But, no, it's no problem.